This is an audio version of Computing Power and the Governance of AI by Leonard Heim, Marcus Anderlung, Emma Blemacki, and Robert Traeger, published on February 14, 2024. It's the companion blog post for a research report, and it's published on the Center for the Governance of AI website. This is one of the core readings for the AI Safety Fundamentals course. Subtitle: Recent AI progress has largely been driven by increases in the amount of computing power used to train new models. Governing compute could be an effective way to achieve AI policy goals, but could also introduce new societal risks. This post summarizes a new report, Computing Power and the Governance of Artificial Intelligence. The full report is a collaboration between 19 researchers from academia, civil society, and industry, and it can be read at a link here. GovAI research blog posts represent the views of their authors rather than the views of the organization. Section heading: Summary. Computing power, or compute for short, is a key driver of AI progress. Over the past 13 years, the amount of compute used to train leading AI systems has increased by a factor of 350 million. This has enabled the major AI advances that have recently gained global attention. Governments have taken notice. They are increasingly engaged in compute governance, using compute as a lever to pursue AI policy goals, such as limiting misuse risks, supporting domestic industries, or engaging in geopolitical competition. There are at least three ways compute can be used to govern AI. Governments can track or monitor compute to gain visibility into AI development and use, subsidize or limit access to compute to shape the allocation of resources across AI projects, and monitor activity, limit access, or build guardrails, in quotes, into hardware to enforce rules. Audio note: across those three points, visibility, allocation, and enforce were in bold. Compute governance is a particularly important approach to AI governance because it is feasible. Compute is detectable. Training advanced AI systems requires tens of thousands of highly advanced AI chips, which cannot be acquired or used inconspicuously. It is excludable. AI chips, being physical goods, can be given to or taken away from specific actors, and in cases of specific uses. And it is quantifiable. Chips, their features, and their usage can be measured. Compute's detectability and excludability are further enhanced by the highly concentrated structure of the AI supply chain. Very few companies are capable of producing the tools needed to design advanced chips, the machines needed to make them, or the data centers that house them. However, just because compute can be used as a tool to govern AI doesn't mean that it should be used in all cases. Compute governance is a double-edged sword, with both potential benefits and the risk of negative consequences. It can support widely shared goals like safety, but it can also be used to infringe on civil liberties, perpetuate existing power structures, and entrench authoritarian regimes. Indeed, some things are better ungoverned. In our paper, we argue that compute is a particularly promising node for AI governance. We also highlight the risks of compute governance and offer suggestions for how to mitigate them. This post summarizes our findings and key takeaways, while also offering some of our own commentary. A note on authorship: the paper includes 19 co-authors, several of whom work at OpenAI, a company developing state-of-the-art foundation models. This naturally raises concerns that the content of the paper will be biased towards the interest of AI developers. This suspicion is healthy. Further, many of the mechanisms explored in the paper have only seen cursory investigation, and given the size of the author group, authorship does not imply endorsement of all the paper's statements from any author or their respective organization. We hope that readers will be motivated to closely engage with the paper's arguments, take little for granted, publicly raise disagreements, and offer alternative ideas. We intend for this paper to provide a basis for continued research and thoughtful examination of the role of compute in AI governance. Heading: Compute plays a crucial role in AI. Much AI progress over the past decade has resulted from significant increases in the amount of computing power, or compute, used to train and run AI models. Across large language models, Go, protein folding, and autonomous vehicles, the greatest breakthroughs have involved developers successfully leveraging huge amounts of computing power to train models on vast datasets to independently learn how to solve a problem, rather than hard coding such knowledge. In many AI domains, researchers have found scaling laws. Performance on the training objective, for example, predict the next word, predictably increases as the amount of compute, typically measured in the number of operations, for example, flop, involved, used to train a model increases. Hardware improvements and massively increased investments have resulted in the amount of compute used to train notable AI systems increasing by a factor of 350 million in the past 13 years. Currently, the compute used to train notable AI systems doubles every 6 months. In the last year alone, NVIDIA's data center revenue nearly quadrupled. There's a graph here titled Figure 1. The amount of compute used to train notable AI models has doubled roughly every 6 months since 2010. Note the logarithmic y-axis. The data comes from Epic. So the x-axis has years that range back to 1950 and go up to 2025. There is a logarithmic y-axis with the number of flop from 1 to 10 to the power of 26. There are a few data points back around 1950 and 60, like Theseus, for example, which are right down the bottom of the graph. And we see that on this log y scale, there is a linear progression with a certain gradient up to a point marked pre-deep learning era, training compute doubling time 21.6 months. Then around 2010, we see that the line turns sharply upwards, fitting all of these different data points, which are now quite numerous, including models like AlexNet, AlphaGo Lee, AlphaGo Zero, OpenAI 5, DALL-E, GPT-3, GPT-4, etc. And the straight line with the log y-axis that traces through those points is much more steeply upwards than the previous line. That part is labelled deep learning era, training compute doubling time 6 months. Heading: compute governance is feasible. Compute is easier to govern than other inputs to AI. As such, compute can be used as a tool for AI governance. Figure 2 is here, a summary of the properties that make compute governable. Properties that make compute an effective policy lever. Detectability. Large-scale AI training and deployment is highly resource-intensive, often requiring thousands of specialized chips in a high-performance cluster hosted in a large data center, consuming large amounts of power. Excludability. The physical nature of hardware makes it possible to exclude users from accessing AI chips. In contrast, restricting access to data, algorithms, or trained models is much more difficult. Quantifiability. Computational power can be easily measured, reported, and verified. And supply chain concentration. AI chips are produced via a highly inelastic and complex supply chain, several key steps of which, for example, design, EUV lithography, and fabrication, are dominated by a small number of actors. That's the end of that image. The sections again were detectability, excludability, quantifiability, and supply chain concentration. These are now reiterated in the text. Four features contribute to compute's governability. Detectability. Large-scale AI development is highly resource-intensive and therefore detectable, often requiring thousands of specialized chips concentrated in data centers consuming large amounts of power. Excludability. The physical nature of hardware makes it possible to exclude users from accessing AI chips. In contrast, restricting access to data, algorithms, or models is much more difficult. Quantifiability. Compute can be easily measured, for example, in terms of the operations per second a chip is capable of performing, or its communication bandwidth with other chips, making reporting and verification easier. And concentrated supply chain. AI chips are produced via a highly inelastic and complex supply chain. Several key steps, including chip design, manufacturing of fabrication equipment, and chip fabrication, are dominated by a small number of actors, often just one. There's another image here, figure 3, an illustration of the compute supply chain. So it's a series of arrows that contribute to the final deployment of an AI model, which is the endpoint of this chart. It begins with the compute production section, then goes to a compute provision section, then a compute usage section, and then the deployment. Within compute production, we see a series of steps brought together in a box labeled Integrated Device Manufacturer, which consists of Fabless, Foundry, and OSAT. That involves the design, fabrication, and assembly testing and packaging, respectively. And requiring inputs including electronic design automation, software and core IP, semiconductor manufacturing equipment, and materials. The output of that section, compute production, is chips, which go to compute provision. There's a box around these steps that says Big Tech Firm. Steps include data center construction and data center operation, requiring inputs, land, cooling, IT infrastructure and networking, power, water and connectivity. The output from this box is compute, which goes to compute usage. Here an AI company completes the steps, which are AI design, training and enhancement, requiring the input of algorithms and data, and that leads to the deployment. Figure 4 is also here, concentration of the AI chip supply chain. The supply chain for advanced AI chips is unusually concentrated, especially at the design, semiconductor manufacturing equipment, and fabrication steps of the supply chain, but also significantly concentrated at the compute provision layer. So there are four bars here showing the respective percentages for different companies. The first is design of AI chips, data from 2023. NVIDIA controls 80 to 95%. This excludes AI chips that are not available to purchase, for example, AI chips that are only available to rent, in quotes, such as Google's TPUs. Information on the production volume and revenue of such custom chips is limited. However, we estimate that Google's TPUs could make up a significant minority of all AI chips. A section on this bar has others, mostly Intel and AMD, making 5 to 20%. The second bar is semiconductor manufacturing equipment, an input to fabrication, data from 2023. ASML, 100%. ASML is the only company capable of producing EUV machines, that's extreme ultraviolet lithography. These machines are critical to produce less than 5 nanometer chips and to produce 5 nanometer chips economically, reference to Grunwald 2023. In 2023, they were also used to produce almost all 7 nanometer chips, with the exception of Chinese manufacturer SMIC, who in 2023 began producing 7 nanometer chips with inferior DUV equipment due to export restrictions on EUV. Reference to Schleich and Rentsch, 2023. For fabrication, data from 2022, for logic chips less than or equal to 7 nanometers, TSMC has 90% share and Samsung and Intel 10%. It is ambiguous whether market share figures exclusively cover the pure play foundry market, that is manufacturing capacity dedicated to serving external customers, or if it also includes capacity for chips that are used for their own products. However, even when accounting for this, TSMC would likely still dominate the market by a large margin, and the production is still limited to a small number of actors. And the final bar is compute provision with data from 2023. Amazon Web Services is highlighted here with 32% share, Microsoft Azure 22%, Google Cloud 11%, and others 35%. This covers the entire cloud market and is not specific to AI compute. However, we expect that these three companies have a similar or even bigger market share in the AI cloud compute sector. Heading: compute can be used to achieve many different governance goals. The importance of compute to AI capabilities and the feasibility of governing it can make a key intervention point for AI governance efforts. In particular, compute governance can support three kinds of AI governance goals. It can help increase visibility into AI development and deployment, allocate AI inputs towards more desirable purposes, and enforce rules around AI development and deployment. An image here, figure 5, ways in which interventions on compute can be used for AI governance. The boxes include examples explored, though not necessarily endorsed, in the paper. The title is How Intervening on Compute Can Lead to Concrete Risk-Reducing Policies. There are three columns, visibility, allocation, and enforcement. For visibility, using public information about compute quantities to estimate actors' AI capabilities, required reporting of training compute usage from cloud providers and AI developers, international AI chip registry, and privacy-preserving workload monitoring. For allocation, differentially advancing beneficial AI development, redistributing AI development across and within countries, changing the overall pace of AI progress, and collaborating on a joint AI megaproject. And for enforcement, enforcing compute caps, in quotes, by physical limits on chip-to-chip networking, hardware-based remote enforcement, preventing risky training runs via multi-party control, and digital norm enforcement. Back to the text, we have a subheading. Visibility is the ability to understand which actors use, develop, and deploy compute-intensive AI and how they do so. The detectability of compute allows for better visibility in several ways. For example, cloud compute providers could be required to monitor large-scale compute usage. By applying processes such as know your customer requirements to the cloud computing industry, governments could better identify potentially problematic or sudden advances in AI capabilities. This would, in turn, allow for faster regulatory response. Visibility also raises important privacy concerns. Fortunately, some methods may offer non-invasive insights into computer usage. Data center operators have minimal access to information about their customers' compute usage, such as the number and types of chips used, when those chips are used, and how much internet traffic is processed through the relevant computing cluster. However, that information can be used to glean certain insights. For example, the computational signatures of training and running inference on AI systems tend to differ. Clusters used for inference require constant internet traffic to serve customers, whereas clusters used for training typically access training data hosted locally. Subheading: allocation is the ability to shift AI capabilities among different actors and projects to achieve some end. Once again, features of compute such as excludability and quantifiability offer promising opportunities to govern AI through allocation. For example, policymakers may seek to differentially advance beneficial AI development by increasing the resources available to certain kinds of beneficial AI research and development. This could include subsidizing research into AI applications for climate change mitigation, agricultural efficiency, clean energy, public health, education, or even defense against AI misuse. Compute can also be allocated to actors lacking compute resources, such as academics, startups, or low- and middle-income countries. There's a diagram here, figure 6. Prioritizing development of safety, defensive, and substitute technologies can reduce negative societal impacts from other technologies, often referred to as differential technological development, adopted from Sandbrink et al. 2022. The title is How Technological Interventions Can Prevent Harms. The diagram comprises three sections: safety technologies sooner relative to risk-increasing technologies. The technology aim is to reduce or prevent negative societal impacts by modifying risk-increasing technology. AI examples: reinforcement learning from human feedback, constitutional AI, automated watermarks, hardware mechanisms for verification. And non-AI examples: permissive action links, nuclear weapons, DNA synthesis screening, synthetic biology. And the diagram shows a weapon, a missile, being developed before the safety green lock versus bringing the safety green lock sooner in time, which is closer to the missile, which is making it less red, presumably less bad. The second section, defensive technologies before risk-increasing technologies. Technology aim, reduce or prevent negative societal impacts without modifying the underlying risk-increasing technology. AI examples, AI for cyber defense, AI for deepfake detection. Non-AI examples, bulletproof vests, vaccines, short-range missile defense. Once again, we see a scary-looking virus particle and a nice medicine bottle, which is green. In the first instance, the virus particle arrives earlier on the timeline, showing a danger signal, versus now it's been switched to before the virus particle on the timeline, and the danger symbol has disappeared. And the third and final section, substitute technologies instead of risk-increasing technologies. Technology aim, create less risky technologies that provide similar benefits to riskier technologies. AI examples, general-purpose AI systems that lack dangerous capabilities, narrow AI systems to substitute for general-purpose ones in certain contexts. Non-AI examples, clean energy, substitute for fossil fuels. Hydrofluorocarbons, substitute for chlorofluorocarbons. And the timeline here shows a factory spewing smoke with a danger symbol versus now the timeline has diverged and we see clean energy technologies and the danger symbol has disappeared. On with the text. Perhaps compute could also be allocated to adjust the pace of AI progress. A large reserve of compute could be procured by a government or an alliance of governments. The reserve could be used to modulate the amount of compute in the economy, influencing the overall pace of AI progress. Subheading: enforcement. Finally, enforcement is the ability to respond to violations of norms and laws related to AI, such as reckless development and deployment or certain deliberate misuse. One enforcement mechanism discussed in the paper is physically limiting chip-to-chip networking to make it harder to train and deploy large AI systems. For example, the US government's export controls on high-end AI-relevant chip sales to China aim to hamper Chinese actors' ability to develop frontier AI models, where thousands of chips, or tens of thousands of chips, are orchestrated for one training run. That goal could be met in a more targeted way by exporting chips that can only have high bandwidth connections with a sufficiently small number of other chips. Such chips do not exist today, but could potentially be developed. A more speculative enforcement mechanism would be preventing risky training runs via multi-party controls. Certain decisions about which AI systems to develop or deploy may be too high stakes to leave to a single actor or individual. Instead, such decisions could be made jointly by a number of actors or a governing third party. Multi-signature cryptographic protocols could be used to share control of a metaphorical start switch between many actors. The power to decide how large amounts of compute are used could be allocated via digital votes and vetoes, in quotes, with the aim of ensuring that the most risky training runs and inference jobs are subject to increased scrutiny. While this may appear drastic relative to the current state of largely unregulated AI research, there is precedent in the case of other high-risk technologies. Nuclear weapons use similar mechanisms, called permissive action links. Heading: Compute governance can be ineffective. Although compute governance can be an effective regulatory tool, it may not always be the right one to use. It is one option among many for policymakers. For example, compute governance may become less effective as algorithms and hardware improve. Scientific progress continually decreases the amount of computing power needed to reach any level of AI capability, as well as the cost to perform any number of computations. As the power and cost necessary to achieve any given AI capability decreases, these metrics will become less detectable and excludable. The extent to which this effect undermines compute governance largely depends on the importance of relative versus absolute capabilities. Increases in compute efficiency make it easier and cheaper to access a certain level of capability, but as long as scaling continues to pay dividends, the highest capability models are likely to be developed by a small number of actors, whose behaviors can be governed via compute. On a related note, compute may be an inappropriate tool to govern low-compute specialized models with dangerous capabilities. For example, AlphaFold 2 achieved superhuman performance on protein folding prediction using fewer than 10 to the power of 23 operations, two orders of magnitude less compute than models like GPT-4. Compute governance measures to limit the development models risk also limiting the development of similarly sized but harmless models. In other words, compute governance measures seem most appropriate for risks originating from a small number of compute-intensive models. Heading: Compute governance can be harmful. Perhaps most importantly, compute governance can also cause harm. Intrusive compute governance measures risk infringing on civil liberties, propping up the powerful, and entrenching authoritarian regimes. Indeed, some things are better ungoverned. Certain compute governance efforts, especially those aimed at increasing visibility into AI, may increase the chance that private or sensitive personal or commercial information is leaked. AI companies, users of AI systems, and compute providers all go to great lengths to preserve the integrity of their and their customers' data. Giving more actors access to such information raises the chance of data leakage and privacy infringement. Large concentrations of compute are also an increasingly crucial economic and political resource. Centralizing the control of this resource could pose significant risks of abuse of power by regulators, governments, and companies. Companies might engage in attempts at regulatory capture, and government officials could see increased opportunities for corrupt or power-seeking behavior. Heading: Compute governance should be implemented with guardrails. Fortunately, there are a number of ways to increase the chance that compute governance remains effective while reducing unintended harm. Compute governance is one tool among many available to policymakers, and it should be wielded carefully and deliberately. There are some subheadings here with details under each. The subheadings are: exclude small-scale AI compute and non-AI compute from governance regimes, implement privacy-preserving practices and technologies, focus compute-based controls where ex-ante measures are justified, periodically revisit controlled compute-related policies, and ensure substantive and procedural safeguards. Here are the details for each. Exclude small-scale AI compute and non-AI compute from governance regimes. Many of the above concerns can be addressed by applying compute governance measures in a more targeted manner, for example, by focusing on the large-scale computing resources needed to develop and deploy frontier AI systems. Next, implement privacy-preserving practices and technologies. Where compute governance touches large-scale computing that contains personal information, care must be taken to minimize privacy intrusions. Take, for example, Know Your Customer or KYC regimes for cloud AI training, applying them only to direct purchases of large amounts of cloud AI compute capacity would impose almost no privacy burdens on consumers. KYC could also feasibly draw on indicators that are already available, such as chip hours, types of chips, and how GPUs are networked, preserving existing privacy controls for compute providers and customers. Next, focus compute-based controls where ex-ante measures are justified. Compute governance, especially in its allocation and enforcement forms, is often a blunt tool, and generally functions upstream of the risks it aims to mitigate and the benefits it seeks to promote. Regulatory and governance efforts typically focus on ex-post mechanisms, imposing penalties after some undesirable behavior has occurred. Such measures are likely appropriate in dealing with many governance issues arising from AI, especially stemming from inappropriate use of AI systems. However, some harms from AI may justify ex-ante intervention. For example, where the harm is so large that no actor would be able to compensate for it after the fact, such as catastrophic or national security risks, ex-ante measures would be appropriate. Next, periodically revisit controlled compute-related policies. Regulatory thresholds, such as a training compute threshold of 10 to the power of 26 operations, or list-based controls on technologies such as those used in export controls, can become outdated fairly quickly as technology evolves. Compute governance efforts should therefore have built-in mechanisms for reviews and updates. And finally, ensure substantive and procedural safeguards. Like many government interventions, compute governance efforts could be abused. Measures to control compute should therefore include substantive and procedural safeguards. Substantively, such controls could prevent downsides of compute governance by, for example, limiting the types of controls that can be implemented, the type of information that regulators can request, and the entities subject to such regulations. Procedural safeguards could include such measures as notice and comment rulemaking, whistleblower protections, internal inspectors general and advocates for consumers within the regulator, opportunities for judicial review, advisory boards, and public reports on activities. Heading: Conclusion. Compute governance efforts are already underway, and compute will likely continue to play a central role in the AI ecosystem, making it an increasingly important node for AI governance. Compute governance can support AI policy goals in multiple ways: by increasing visibility into AI progress, shaping the allocation of AI inputs, and enforcing rules regarding AI development and deployment. At the same time, designing effective compute governance measures is a challenging task. The risks of privacy violations and power concentration must be managed carefully. We hope this paper will help policymakers and scholars scrutinize, rethink, and ultimately improve compute governance proposals. This was an audio version of Computing Power and the Governance of AI by Leonard Heim, Marcus Angelung, Emma Blemke, and Robert Traeger, published on the 14th of February 2024. It's one of the core readings for the AI Safety Fundamentals course. This reading was by Perrin Walker.